B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
He is the great Paul Hembekidis from ESPN show Get Up, and he joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, as he does every Thursday. Hembo, what's up?
Mike Messinelli, it is good to hear your voice, as always, although since the last time we spoke, a lot of bad things have happened to our favorite football team.
Yes, and we won't get into the Carson Wentz stats for right now, because we have some other we have some other fish to fry. I saw your boy Greeny attack the quarterback today with some stats undoubtedly provided by you.
I mean, that was a passion project that I was the brainchild of it, so you're not surprised to hear. I joked around to him before the show. I said, "You, Greeny, today are a vessel of my frustration for Carson Wentz," and he did it for me.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second, but first, let's look at the Bengals and what kind of a challenge they will present the Eagles this Sunday.
Well, hopefully not much of one. On defense, they might be the worst tackling team in the NFL, Mikey Mitz. In two games, Cincinnati has allowed 187 rushing yards. After contact alone, that's more than 2.5 yards per carry. Also, their corners also don't do a nearly good enough job in man coverage on the perimeter of the field. They allow 10 yards per attempt and 16 yards per completion on throws to the sideline. So that sort of inside-outside formula for the Eagles, I think 25 or so touches for Miles Sanders and 10 targets for DeSean Jackson, I think that's you keep it really simple this week and attack those two weaknesses.
Okay, that sounds manageable for this quarterback, right?
I would think so. Obviously, there was a pretty steady helping of Miles Sanders last week, too. But when they had to stretch the ball downfield, they just couldn't. But the Rams' corners are a heck of a lot better than the Bengals are.
Okay, let's get into how the Bengals are going to play offensively now with this kid. He's been okay. He hasn't been really jittery. He's been fairly successful. The team hasn't been, but tell me about the Bengals and the passing attack with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I thought he's represented himself pretty well so far through two games. Mikey, if they pass the ball with 72% frequency, that's the third highest rate in the league, despite having a rookie quarterback, like you said. But that quarterback, Joe Burrow, he owns a QBR of 80 against the base defense, four defensive backs, but a QBR of 48, 32% lower, with five or more defensive backs on the field. So, given the Eagles' obvious coverage issues at the linebacker position and Cincinnati's propensity to drop back, I think Jim Schwartz would be wise to use that nickel or even that dime as his default on Sunday.
Well, that probably plays right into Schwartz's hands, I would think, right?
Yes, I would think so, too. I think they'll probably play even more man than they have the first 2 weeks. The zone has been dreadful, and the linebackers have been terrible in coverage. But as far as I can tell, you're going to have to make the Bengals beat you on the ground. They want to drop it back. Joe Burrow threw 61 passes against the Browns last week. If he even comes close to approaching that number on Sunday, I think the Eagles will have to win that game pretty easily.
All right, the third thing we always talk about is the betting trends. And I don't know how to take this next stat that you're going to give me. So go ahead with it.
Yeah, so most of the history here doesn't favor the Eagles. So I've given this one to you before, and I'll repeat it again because we've gotten burned. But over the last 3 years, going back to 2018, the Eagles are 3-11 against the spread as a home favorite. They're 8-16 against the number when favored anywhere. That, of course, includes the first two games this season. Also, in what can only be described as inexplicable and certainly irrelevant, but in my case, interesting, Cincinnati, Mikey Mitz, is 13-0 all time against the Eagles, against the spread. That's the best mark by any one team over any other team in the history of the NFL. Now, obviously that has no bearing on what happens on Sunday, but as a statistician, of course, I had to throw that in the mix.
Yeah.
The Mike Messinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
See, these kind of stats, I go, what do they mean? Because we're talking about different teams every year. So, like, if the Eagles are 3-11 against the spread as a home favorite, that stat merely means nothing because teams change every year.
Oh, it means absolutely nothing. That stat isn't predictive. That stat is for Eagles fans that have been watching this team 30 years, and every 4 years we can't figure out why we can't beat Cincinnati.
So you're scaring people away from betting Eagles with this. 3-11 against the spread as a home favorite. I can't bet them this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I still think our friends out there are juicing the line a little bit in the Eagles' favor. They still think the Eagles are better than they are, or at least have played, or at least that's what they view as the public sentiment. And I can't quite get there because we're not talking about like a small sample here, man. We're going back 3 years, and they're juicing the line in the Eagles' favor. And if you're betting money on the Eagles, you're getting burned.
All right, the line has gone down, has it not, Tyron? Line has gone down. It's down to 5. Oh my. All right, yeah, it's Fletcher Cox's status,
really. It's bizarre.
Oh, man.
4.5 in some places.
Okay, so now we talked about the percentages last week. When they start 0-2, the percentage is not good that they make the playoffs. So let's go over those now so people really get buttoned down on them.
this is ugly, so buckle your seatbelt. The Eagles opened the season with a 64% chance to make the playoffs, according to our football power index, Mike Missinelli. That figure is now just 10%. After 2 games, but our model does give the Eagles a 61% chance to beat the Bengals. That equates to a 3.5-point favor, even more conservative than Vegas. The Eagles are, however, in spinning this thing forward, they're an underdog in each of the next 3 and in 4 of their next 5. So I said last week, I'm not willing to throw around the term must win. It's useless, especially then. But given the upcoming schedule, I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is a must-win game for the Eagles.
All right, can we calculate if they do win the game, what their percentage to make playoffs? Where does it go up to?
Yes, I looked. It's less than 20 still because the game doesn't have a lot of leverage. Which is to say, because the upcoming schedule is so unfavorable, like obviously the number dips by a considerable amount if they lose because you're 0-3 and your schedule gets tougher. But even if you win, you're still 1-2 and your schedule gets way tougher. So I can text you those exact numbers, but it doesn't paint that pretty of a picture even if they do win.
Okay. All right. Before I let you go, the stuff that Greeny was saying about Wentz, I know it came from your little sack over there. Your carry bag is what I meant. So throw something out there that kind of paints the picture of how bad he's been.
So in my judgment, the best way to describe Carson Wentz's play so far this season, or the best number, is 20. And that's the number of off-target throws attributed to him. These aren't incompletions. These aren't drops. These aren't things that you can attribute to anyone else. He's in 2 games, 20 off-target throws. That's the most in the NFL. But perhaps most concerning, Mike Missinelli, is that 15 of those 20 off-target throws, 15 of them have come inside a clean pocket. For context, Russell Wilson has 11 incompletions this year of any kind. Lamar Jackson has 11 incompletions this year of any kind. 15 off-target throws inside a clean pocket is an absurd figure over a 2-game span for any quarterback, let alone a quarterback the stature of Carson Wentz. And when you consider the way that Kyler Murray, and when you consider the way that Dak Prescott played against common opponents that the Eagles have played, it should make us feel not so good, to say the least. And I guess the last thing I would say while I'm rolling is that it's really easy to watch him taking all these sacks and being pressured and jump to the conclusion that we can blame the offensive line. And you can take this for whatever it's worth. But our internal metrics have the Eagles 5th in pass protection. So, and we judge that. That's a standard rubric across the board, which is to say we think that he's making the offensive line way worse than they're making him look.
All right, so you know what that stat does? That stat then leads to a question from a reporter about layups that he's not completing, which leads the head coach to go steamy on him, going, did you ever play quarterback in the NFL? Which leads us to comment on it, which leads then to some woman named Sally ripping me on email.
I love that bit of sound. You can tell Doug Peterson, he's so cranky, he's so tired of answering these questions. Earlier in the week, someone asked him about his quarterback regressing after 5 years, and he answered, that's a good question.
Yeah.
If after 5 years of marriage, someone asks you how your marriage is doing, you would say, that's a good question. That's
it's
usually indicative of the fact that your marriage is not doing so well. I'm telling you, I think we're starting to, I think the wood is kindling.
I think you might be right. Hambo, always great to talk to you. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
You're a good man. Go Birds.
There he is. That's Hambo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.